Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about on this Friday night. Truth is our bitch every night of the week. And we go places where other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, man. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Good evening, and welcome to our program. First out of the gate tonight, we'll talk about the Casey Anthony trial in Orlando, Florida. It is a fascinating case. It truly is, because you're dealing with, in my opinion, you're dealing with a pure psychopathic mind. The mind of this young woman, Casey Anthony. And I'm telling you, it is, to my way of thinking, it's amazing to watch someone lie and they think they're actually getting over on people. It's a very interesting thing. Don't forget our phone number tonight, 877-876-PHIL. Our website, philhendryshow.com. And we have what's called Phil TV in HD. We're online right now. Our video cast is online right now. So you can tune in and watch us do this show, as well as listen to us do the show. So that's philhendryshow.com. And you need a backstage pass.
Yeah, you got to get a subscription and everything.
Yeah, they know that, man. When you go to the website, folks, you'll figure it out. All right, our affiliate spotlight tonight is on WZTK in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and the great people in Anchorage, Alaska, KFQD in Anchorage. The Casey Anthony story that we have here, and we're just going to update you on what we've got before we get Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line here. The crime scene investigator who searched Casey Anthony's car on June 17th of 2008 for clues about the fate of her missing two-year-old daughter testified on Friday that the odor of human decomposition wafted from the interior as soon as he opened the door. This is Geraldo Bloise, I believe is the man's name. My professional opinion is that it was human decomposition. He told jurors he has seen many cases, as many as 45 bodies in various stages of decomposition in his career. Casey Anthony is a 25-year-old woman. She's on trial in Orlando for first-degree murder, accused of killing her daughter Kaylee on June the 16th, 2008, and hiding the body in the woods near the Anthony home. And the child's remains were eventually found. I spent last night reading the transcript. Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us. I spent last night, Bobby, reading the transcript of the police investigator's interrogation of her.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Phil. I don't think there's any question at all. You hit the nail right on the head. It is fascinating to listen to this woman thinking that she's leading these police on a wild goose chase.
Well, she took them out to Universal, and they knew she was lying. She didn't know that they knew, but they decided to. I think the police officer, his name is Yuri Melich. He's a detective, investigating detective for the Orange County Sheriff in Orlando. He said, "Well, I thought I'd just go ahead and play this one out, see how far she was going to lie, see how far she was going to take us." She walked with purpose, he said, through the Universal parking lot and through the park as if she knew where she was going. And just amazing, when they finally sat down with her, they couldn't break her.
Well, the thing of it is, I noticed in that interview, I read the same interview, that they sort of played a little good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, they did.
And the first officer, I think it was Melich, really leaned on her. And then the second officer, I think it was Detective Allen, began to speak with her a little bit more.
He was friendlier, wasn't he?
He was friendlier, and he was asking her about her family and her growing up and things like that. So, but the problem with this trial, Phil, and Steve and I were talking about it, is that they give her so much attention. If you look at the Orlando television coverage, and I think a lot of it is being replicated, if you will, by the national media, the trial of Casey. What is Casey doing?
Yeah, I saw that. I don't like that either.
Yeah, they're really personalizing this to the point of turning her into some kind of a media figure.
Yeah, they don't call her Casey, Mr. Henry. They didn't say Anthony or anything.
No, I saw that. I saw that there was a promos. In fact, the Twitter feed for Channel 13 in Orlando is, oh, well, what's Casey going to do? You know, and how is Casey feeling today? And what's Casey's hair look like?
It's really a little embarrassing. I would be embarrassed if I were the media in Orlando, because I think it makes everyone there look as if they're so fascinated with this murderer, as if they don't have enough in the way of celebrity in that town or something. And so I to that extent, I think you're going to have an awful lot of young women, and even women closer than perhaps not as close in age, I should say, to Casey Anthony. A lot of them are going to be looking at this trial, Phil, as it goes on, and they're going to be saying to themselves, look at all the publicity she gets. Look at all the attention she gets. Look at them calling her Casey. Look at them treating her as if she's a member of their extended family. Where does that leave me? And what is my life about?
And are you talking about the women that are watching the television?
Yes, women that are watching the TV, following the trial on, you said you were following the trial on the I can never pronounce it. What is it?
Twitter.
On the Twitter.
There's a number of feeds that I'm following. Twitter, there's Channel 13 Orlando, WFTV Channel 9. Orlando Media is really on it in there, and they're doing a great job, and they televise it, and Channel 9 posts the files.
I know. I see all of those. But the point that I'm making here...
You're worried about the personal coverage this young woman's getting?
Casey Anthony is being held up by the media as this central figure in this drama. She is looked at with, look at how attractive she is. I find that revolting. The fact that a woman that could very well go to prison she murdered the kid, right?
She murdered her 2-year-old kid.
Yes, so she's going to go to prison for murdering it, and she's not getting, no one is... What they're doing is they're making her into a celebrity. There's going to be a lot of young women out there, Phil, that are going to look at that and say, look what she has, and look what I don't have. Look.
Well, they're bound to say, a lot of young women are going to say, look what she has. This woman is in custody. She leaves that courtroom every day, and she goes back to a county jail cell.
Well, she may go back to a county jail cell, but she has, and you're absolutely right, Phil, but she has the next day to look forward to. She has unbelievable amounts of media interest. She has media requests. Her attorneys are most likely, this Baez looks like, he's a very nice-looking man. And when you take a very nice-looking man who is giving you all this attention, I don't think it takes a genius to know that there are a lot of women. I'm grateful to the fact that I am, I feel... as if I'm strong. I don't feel like I'm like a lot of American women. I'm not pining away for attention. I'm not throwing myself at men. I've got a great husband. I've got 3 sons. But even I look at the attention she gets, and I get resentful.
What are you resentful about? If we can, this might be instructive for me and for other men. You're saying the American woman looks at this trial, they look at the attention that Casey Anthony is getting, and you all get resentful. In what way?
In the fact that we, every day of our lives, we are giving a little bit more of ourselves away, protecting our sons, protecting our daughters, our children. Every day of our lives, we are losing more of our youth. Every day of our lives, we lose more of our sexuality and our appeal for our husbands. We know this. And what are we getting in return? We tromp off to the grocery store. We go to our hairdresser. We try and defeat the inexorable march of time. And it never works. Meanwhile, here is a young woman, 25, people falling all over themselves to get a picture of her, falling all over themselves to find out what she's wearing.
She's a murderer. She's on trial.
Yeah, but she's a murderer, okay? But she's also in the media.
Right now, you can call her a murderer, Phil, and yes, I understand that. She's more famous right now than Angelina Jolie. She is more...
No, she's not. Not internationally.
No, I mean nationally. The only thing, in my opinion, that counts really in terms of notoriety is whether you are well-known in America. You can be well-known in Europe, and no one knows who you are. Who's the guy that you were talking about, Steve?
This guy named George Stromalopoulos, something, I forget.
Who?
This guy in Canada. He's a big wind in Canada, and down here, he couldn't make a puff. Of air out of one of those
windbags.
Out of a windbag. So
I don't know who you're talking about. What you're basically saying is that the Casey Anthony trial makes a young lady who's committed murder a desirable figure.
I think to a weaker-minded woman, it does. To me, I know what's going on. And Phil, let me put it to you this way. Even I can walk into my son's bedroom, and I love my sons more than life itself, and I can watch my youngest son sleeping, and it scares me. I mean, I'm saying these words to you right now, and I'm scared, Phil. I watch the Casey Anthony trial. I look at my youngest son sleeping. I look at all the attention she gets. And I think to myself, one, two, three, and it's over.
And what does that mean?
One, two, three, the pillow.
I draw a pillow across his face. One, two, three, and it's over.
No, wait, hold on a second.
No, I'm not going to do it. But
you have actually, have you contemplated it?
Any woman would, and I am very strong. I am not like a lot of women. I'm not going to look at the Casey Anthony trial and go, look at how popular she is. I'm very jealous. I'm very resentful. She's very pretty. She has a handsome lawyer. She has a lot of people paying attention to her. I'm not going to do that, but even I, Phil, and I, as I said, I'm very strong. Even I am tempted to, in a weak moment.
Did you, I want to ask you, did you seriously contemplate murdering your son?
Of course not.
No, she's just saying she can see the temptation.
I can see the temptation, Phil. I can see. I look at Dylan sleeping, and I can see just a little bit of a push on the pillow, and that's it. You know, when you look at your son laying there sleeping, and you're thinking, boy, he's really asking for it.
And what did you say?
When you look at your, don't get dramatic, Bill.
No, Ms. Ritter, you're not really going to do it.
I'm not going to do it. I'm just saying, when a boy is laying there sleeping, an 11-year-old boy, and you're thinking, were I Casey Anthony, boy, he's really asking for it.
Well, I don't think that's normal thinking. Here's what I have to say to that.
Excuse me, Mr. Rainey, I am not an abnormal woman. I'm very normal.
Well, I understand, but I don't think it's normal thinking to think that when you see your son sleeping, you have a feeling like, boy, is he really asking for it.
No, I said that it is a temptation for a weak woman. I'm a stronger woman.
What does that mean, Ms. Dooley, that you're a stronger woman? That means that you have thoughts, oh, I know how killing my son would make me popular, but you don't do it?
I have thoughts like other women. What doesn't happen to me is I don't give in to them. Now, there are millions of young women out there in America tonight with little children who are looking at Casey Anthony on television. They're looking at everything that she has.
Everything that she has. She's fighting for her freedom.
May I finish, please?
Let my wife finish.
May I finish?
Go ahead. But she doesn't have anything.
Yes, there are women out there looking at everything she has, and they may think to themselves, it's worth it.
It's worth it.
That's what I fear.
All right. Our number is 877. Hang on the line, Bobby and Steve Dooley. 877-876-PHIL. Casey Anthony and the attention that she's getting in this murder trial in Tampa, the murder committed in Orlando, but the trial moved to Tampa, the change in venue, all of the attention she's getting could be a temptation for other young women or other young mothers out there. Might it inspire women to, in fact, harm their children? Bobby Dooley's thought about killing her son since watching the coverage. Should we censor this coverage? That might inspire people to do their children in just for that kind of media attention. Your call's next at 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. So just listen and learn. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley on the line with us here as we talk about the Casey Anthony trial. We haven't had really much occasion to talk about it. Ms. Dooley, you're talking to us about young women all over this country watching this trial and getting ideas of what to do with their kids because they want the same kind of attention. Are we kind of just going back in time to the good old days of, oh, television causes violence, guns cause violence?
No, Phil, I'm not going back. I'm talking about the minds of some women. Some women who are very susceptible to this. In this country today, we have a lot of women that are very susceptible to this. A lot of women, Phil. When you look at an American woman like myself, I'm 38 years of age. I am well-adjusted. I have three sons, a husband who has a wildly successful landscaping business. I'm the Homeowners Association president. I'm the Parent Teacher Organization president. And yet when I walk by my youngest son's room and I look in on him, and I see Casey Anthony in my mind's eye, and I start thinking things like, how long would it take?
How long would it take what?
How long would it take to put a pillow over him and suffocate him?
Good God.
No, Mr. Henry, let me finish.
That's the kind of thinking, though, that would cause someone, I think, to go seek help. You know?
No, Mr. Henry, you don't let her finish.
You have to understand, these are the fantasies that a lot of women have, most of whom are going to act on them. I don't. But I start thinking about, how long is it going to take? What kind of pillow do you use? How would I pin his arms down? Using my knees, straddling his body? I even told myself, I know what I would do. I would say the Lord's Prayer. I would be saying the Lord's Prayer over and over as I guided him from this world into a better life.
And are you listening to what you're saying, though?
I'm not saying I would. Are you listening to me?
Go listen to her. She's not going to do it.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's go to Mark on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just can't. I've been listening to talk radio for years and years, and this is like the sickest thing I've ever heard in my life. I just can't believe this. I can't believe you're serious.
Obviously, you haven't listened to that much talk radio.
Did you have a question, sir?
Well, I mean,
you sound like you're a little sheltered. Are you a little sheltered from life?
Because you
don't understand something.
I can't believe that you're
a PTA
president.
Do you have a wife? I'm asking you a question. Do you have a wife?
You're a PTA president, and you're thinking about hurting and harming your children, and you're a PTA president.
You don't understand unless you have a wife. If you have a wife, you can begin to understand.
I do have a wife.
But if you live alone,
I do have a wife. But my wife is not in need of. You need some serious drugs. There are antipsychotic drugs.
Well, listen to the man. He's saying that this is beyond.
I don't think it's all that shocking. He says he's listened to a lot of talk radio. That means he's called a lot of talk shows, haven't you?
I've listened to talk shows, but I've never heard that this is the sickest thing to ever come from. You know.
But you've called a lot of them, haven't you?
You are not well adjusted. The fact that you are letting something.
He tries to get the host to like him.
Well, Bobby, you know something? I'll host the show. Let me. Hold on for just a second, Mark. I'm sorry. Hold on, Mark. I'll host the show, Bobby, and you give your opinion. Don't tell me how to run my calls.
I think this guy's called other shows before.
Who cares if he has? Who cares if he has?
Sir. The Casey Anthony trial is going to get women to want to smother their children. Your wife, do you have a small child?
No, you've got a problem in that you want attention.
You've got serious attention.
You're looking at the show on television, and you are jealous. You are jealous that you're not on TV, and you're jealous that you know you're not getting any attention.
Yes, you are.
Probably your husband. No one's giving you any attention. And you're thinking about harming your child to get the same attention that she does, and you're saying that other people would get the same feeling as you. Well, other people
absolutely
don't have
your wife? have
they don't have your mental disorder. They don't have your mental disorder.
That's a, you have to understand,
have
Bobby, that does
disorder.
Not sound... Yeah, that doesn't sound normal.
I can tell you, Phil, that there are millions of American women tonight who are not going to kill their children, and neither would I, but they think about what
no,
that
you think about
them.
It. You're thinking about it. No, you were thinking
sir,
about it.
Sir, you're not a woman. I, you know what? You're not
you
a woman.
A
so
loser.
You don't really...
Panic.
You don't... You're not
panic.
Even a woman.
You
you're
are
a loser.
And you need to be drugged, and your kids need to be
that's
taken away from you.
I heard you were loose.
All right.
You need to be drugged, and your children need to immediately be taken away.
I need drugs. There's no question. Yes, I do need drugs after talking to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Mark. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
And
Phil Henry Show.
God. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk to Bobby and Steve Dooley about the Casey Anthony trial. Our number 877-876-PHIL is Casey Anthony. Is the coverage going to inspire women to kill their kids? We have Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line with us.
You know, Phil, that's really not what I was... talking about.
Well, that's the essence of the comments about a lot of women jealous of Casey Anthony.
There are a lot of women who look at Casey Anthony and say, I would like to be her.
Who? What women would want to be her?
She's a very beautiful young woman, Phil.
And so she's beautiful, so what?
She's a very beautiful young woman. There are a lot of women who don't have those looks.
And so they would sacrifice their home, their children, their lives to have Casey Anthony's looks.
There are women that are that irrational, yes. So there are a lot of women that would... If I could be allowed to just finish...
You know, I'm starting to cut my wife off. You know?
Well, I'm cutting her off because I'm hearing more and more outrageous things. There's a lot of women that would like to have Casey Anthony's looks. So they would sacrifice their freedom?
They would sacrifice a lot, yes. And it might even include their freedom. I don't know. But there are a lot of women out there, and I talk to them. I see them. I live next door to them. And... they would love to have half of Casey Anthony's looks. That's how really, you know, not attractive these women are. And when you ask the question, would they give up their freedom? I think they would give up that much freedom that would allow them to be the center of attention, a handsome lawyer, lots of television coverage, lots of people talking about you, lots of people putting you on the cover of a magazine. There are a lot of women like that, Phil. Would they actually do it? I don't know. Would I do it? I know that I wouldn't. But have I walked by my son's door and looked at him in the middle of the night and said to myself, you know, it really wouldn't take that long. All you do...
You're going to go through this whole thing of fantasizing about killing your son.
It's not a fantasy. It's more like, what would it take? It's not that I'm going to do it. It's not that I want to do it. It's a flight. It's not a fantasy so much as a flight of fancy. A flight of fancy. Do you understand what I mean?
You understand a flight of fancy, Mr. Henry?
A flight of fancy, okay.
So I'm saying to myself, there is my son, Justin. He's my youngest son. I love him. A pillow over his mouth, and I can guide him into another world. If I'm saying the Lord's Prayer, if I am reciting the Beatitudes, and I am gently escorting him into a better place, I feel his legs moving, I may feel him thrashing, but I'm saying the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Our Father who art in heaven. I'm saying it over and over again. This calms things and allows you a peace and a peace of mind that you may not know in life, Bill.
You know, Ms. Dooley, I want to interrupt you.
Could I finish, please?
Yes, let's finish.
Because I'm talking about a moment that could be religious.
And killing your son.
No, not killing my son, but saying the Lord's Prayer while I'm killing my son.
Saying the Lord's Prayer while you're killing your son. Saying the Lord's Prayer while your son is thrashing. and saying the Beatitudes while your son is thrashing. This is what you're talking about?
This is what I'm saying, that some women would think, God Almighty.
Honey, you're gonna let my wife sit in.
Back off. I am saying this is the way a lot of women would do it to make it right with themselves.
Is that the way you would do it, Miss Dooley? Because here is my question.
Mr.
Hold on for just a second. You have planned this thing out, you know.
It's not a plan.
It's a flight of fancy.
Don't do it, Steve. Shut your mouth. I said to shut it.
Mr. Dooley, would you...
I'll speak to my own husband. Thank you very much.
Mr. Dooley...
I'll speak to my...
I'm
telling you right now, Steve, and as God is my witness, I'm very upset. I don't like the way I'm being treated. I said to you, it's a flight of fancy. If I leaned on my son, I would say the Lord's Prayer. I would wait for his legs to stop crashing. Why won't you listen to me?
Because I find what you're saying very disturbing. Very disturbing. 877-876-PHIL, as we talk about the Casey Anthony trial and how attractive it would be for some American women to be in her shoes with her looks and all of that attention. Mary, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Yeah, I just can't imagine that any person would contemplate doing that to a child that they gave birth to.
Well, you know, Mary...
Mother, I feel, I mean, I just, I find that very appalling that you would even think of
it. I'm thinking of it in terms of this. If you're a woman that doesn't have a lot going for her in terms of looks, and there are a lot of people that don't, they don't pay attention to you, you know, those kinds of women, then this is a way that some women might find toward getting attention, toward getting people to love them. You see? Now, Mary, my question is this for you. You're traveling by car somewhere tonight, correct? You could stop that car and you could roll a body down an embankment and you'd be gone. They'd never know. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, what's your point?
My point is, Mary, do you have children?
Oh, I have three. I have three grown daughters and I have three grandchildren. And I've never seen that in my life.
I'm simply saying, Mary, what if you planned it out that you would put the pillow over your grandchild's face, but you were saying the Lord's Prayer as well?
What difference would that make?
I'm asking Mary.
I can't imagine saying the Lord's Prayer and doing such an appalling action. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Because there's
even
nothing
if it was going that
to... you want to take my child's life.
What if it would save your family money? It would be a less of a mouth to feed. It would enable you and your husband to eventually go to the West Coast and to begin to shop for a movie deal or a record deal.
A movie deal?
Yes, a movie deal. What if that were the case, Mary? Think of that. As you are leaning on that child with the pillow over the child's face, Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Our Father art in heaven. You know there's a movie deal waiting.
There's no movie deal here, Bobby. You're not listening to what the lady's saying. She's talking about her grandchild being suffocated. You're talking to her about suffocating her own grandchild. You're talking to that woman about taking a child's life and that somehow saying the Lord's Prayer in the middle of that would make it better.
I don't think you understand. You're not very religious, are you, Mr. Henry? Mary, are you religious? Of course you are, Mary.
All right, Mary, thanks so much for your call. Thank you. Bye-bye. 877-876-PHIL. She was out on a highway or something.
Well, that was the point I wanted to make.
Hold on for just a minute. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You're talking about saying the Lord's Prayer while killing someone.
I'm not saying it's right.
Then why are you sitting there telling me that one night I looked at my son, Justin, and there he was, and I decided it would take this much pressure, this size of a pillow... I'm saying the Lord's Prayer, and I'm saying the Beatitudes.
I just spoke to a woman who was traveling by car across, I don't know what state.
She was in Missouri.
She's in Missouri. She's traveling by car. It's the middle of the night. You can almost hear the silence. Isn't that funny? You can hear the silence out there. I can almost picture the type of countryside she's traveling through, that Missouri landscape, brush, low-lying hills, perhaps a swamp here or there. There are a lot of places, Mr. Henry, where a woman like Mary can open the trunk, and all you hear is, Steve, you did the sound effect. My husband was doing sound effects.
What's that supposed to be?
It's a body rolling down a hill.
All right. So in other words, Ms. Dooley, this is really tempting for you. And you have yet to make the case that it's tempting for any other American woman. And
I just heard, I don't think that's the case at all. I think you're intimidating a lot of people.
No, I think you have yet to make the case that there are American women out there considering killing their children so they could get Casey Anthony's attention, so they could get Casey Anthony's lawyer, so they could get Casey Anthony's covers of magazines and newspapers.
And what about her money, Phil? What about the fact that a Casey Anthony book or a movie deal, just as I mentioned to Mary, would pay off everything that her family's ever owed?
There are laws against criminals profiting from their crimes.
Well, what if the crime was against a member of your own family? What if the crime was against a member of your own family? Answer it, please.
Ms. Dooley, I'm...
What if the crime was against...
I'm not answering any question like that, thank you. We'll be back with more here on The Phil Henry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back. We have Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. We're talking about the Casey Anthony trial and the fact that Ms. Anthony is getting an awful lot of attention, and that may prompt or promote or otherwise cause other young women or older women or whoever to want to kill their children. I find that to be... it may be true, Bobby, in some instances, okay? It may be true that, for instance, there are some women who have a personality or a disposition that's already bent, you know?
Well, Phil, that's what I'm talking about. You know, you jumped to a conclusion that every woman in America is going to want to kill their children. I'm simply saying to you that the attractiveness of this young woman, yes, I would say that most American women would like to look like her. I don't think that there's any secret there. She's a very lovely girl. I don't know that there are a lot of women that don't want to look as good as she does. Well, that's not wanting to kill your children, but it is being jealous of a murderer. Now, where do you put that on the scale of insanity? I don't know, Phil, but what I am saying is we need to control the media images a lot more. We need to get with the press. We need to get with the media, and we need to control these images, because we've got a young lady who is on television, Casey Anthony. She is very attractive. She is getting a lot of attention, and women are looking at that and saying, look what you get when you kill your kid.
Look what you get when you kill your kid. You're in court, you know.
They don't see that, Mr. Henry. All they see is that she's getting all this attention and everything.
What they see, she's on the television.
She's on the TV.
So we need to control these images. And even Steve said to me, you know, and he's my husband, he thought that she looked very attractive. He felt that she's going to get her fair share of male groupies. You know,
well, she's going to get male groupies. There's going to be people that are going to want to talk to her. There's going to be people that are going to want to communicate with her. There's going to, obviously, that's the case. You know, men have them and women have them too. But to say that what this woman did, and the resulting attention she's getting is going to prompt women to kill their children, is, and Ms. Dooley, again, you came out with something here tonight that I think we need to talk about. You know,
what's that? Are you going to talk again about how what my thought was about killing my son, Justin? I told you I was kidding.
You didn't say you were kidding. You said that you could understand how attractive that is.
Yes, exactly.
But now we stand by that, Ms. Henry.
Well, I have to stand by it, Steve. You're not the one that's going to do it.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
Why don't you shut up?
Ms. Dooley, I can...
Hold on for a minute. Why don't you shut up, Steve?
What I do?
Why don't you just shut up is what I'm asking you to do. I'm praying that you'll shut up, in fact. In fact, Steve, if Phil, hold on for a minute.
I've got to finish this interview, Ms. Dooley, all right? And I have to go on to another hour.
If you could, just for 1 second. Steve, you know the Lord's Prayer, Our Father right in heaven?
Yeah.
That's what I would say right now if you'd shut your mouth.
Well,
oh, my God, you shut your mouth?
God, shut up!
Ms. Dooley.
Hold on. There. When I want you to talk, I'll say something to you.
Right.
I didn't ask you to talk just then.
Yeah, all right, okay. I'm going to move on with the show.
No, I'm here. The point that I'm making is my husband, Steve, is a good man. He loves me very much. He doesn't understand that you can only take so much as an American woman. You can only take so much a man lording it over you, walking through the house as if he actually did something to deserve everything that he sees around him. And you eventually say to yourself, you know what I really need? I need a little freedom myself. And if it means killing one of these kids, I'll do it. Now, was I serious?
What you said to me, and by the way you just told your husband to shut up is...
Did it sound too hysterical? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, grow up. You see, you were... Yes, you sounded hysterical. And I will again say to you, when you are saying, I'm going to put the pillow over his head and say the Lord's Prayer and the Beatitudes as I escort him out of this world into a better life... You don't think that sounds crazy, huh?
Oh, my God, no, Phil. That's... What? Why does that sound crazy? If I were hacking at him with a knife, if I were hacking at him like I was Jack the... Oh, God. What did they call the man?
Jack the Ripper.
No. They called him something.
No, they said Jack. Jack Cheese?
Jack Cheese. God. Hold on, Phil.
I can't hold on.
Hold on. Jack Cheese?
No.
Jack, I think you're right, Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, Jack the Ripper.
I'm not hacking at my son like Jack the Ripper. I've got a pillow over his nose. I am kneeling on his arms. I am saying the Lord's Prayer and the Beatitudes as the life gradually bleeds out of him. What is cruel about that, I'd like to know? And
it is mentally, it's cruel. Cruel is the least of it. You are engaged in an act the way you describe it, Ms. Dooley, that sounds, it sounds diabolical and it sounds insane. It sounds criminally insane, whatever you want to call it. It sounds pathological or psychopathic.
You know, you watch a lot of cartoons, Phil.
This has not got any... What?
You know...
I watch a lot of cartoons.
I'll do it. You watch a lot of cartoons. You watch a lot of cartoons and you watch a lot of Sheriff John.
Ms. Dooley, you said you would kneel on that kid's arms, and the only thing that keeps me really from taking you more seriously is that I know you've been on this program before, and you've engaged in some pretty bizarre conversation with me along these lines. I think you do it maybe because you want to get a rise out of people, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that what you're saying makes sense.
Well, have you talked to other women about this?
You know, if I talk to other... Yes, I have. I've talked to several on this show tonight. I've talked to several on the show tonight, and they've all said you're nuts.
No, they did not say I was nuts. No.
They didn't say that, Mr. Henry. They said,
I'll do it. They said that they can't imagine themselves doing it. That's a compliment.
Why is that a compliment?
It's a compliment because they're saying, you know what? You're a better woman than me if you can pull it off, because I could never do that.
I didn't hear anybody say better woman than me.
I heard them. I heard them between the lines.
Yeah, talking between the lines. Shut up!
Ms. Dooley, if you talk to your husband like that one more time, I'm hanging up.
Why am I not allowed to say?
If you talk to your husband like that one more time, I'm hanging up.
He has been butting in all night and butting in. I gave him 3 sons. I gave him the best years of my life. Now I'm pushing 40. That's right, Phil, 40. I'm an American woman pushing 40. There isn't anything in this world more prone to suicide than that. And
is that what you're telling me you're going to do?
No, I... Would you stop getting dramatic, okay?
That's a lot of comic books. Shut up!
Okay, Bobby, thanks very much.
Don't you dare hang up on me, you...
All right, that's all I'm going to do, okay?
Yeah, she kept on doing it.
I told her if she kept on telling her husband to shut up like that, I was hanging up on her, and I did, and I'm proud of myself.
No, I think you did the right thing, man.
Thank you. What a psycho! I would lean on him with the pillow over his face as the life bled out of him, saying the Lord's Prayer and the Beatitudes. And why would she do that? Because she could get on television, she could be the center of attention, just like Casey Anthony. There's only one problem, Ms. Dooley. You wouldn't look as good as Casey Anthony. And I don't even want to know how Casey Anthony killed her daughter, although I'm sure we're going to find out. And does it sound like we're rushing to judgment? Does it sound like that we have indicted an innocent woman until proven guilty and all of that stuff? If it does, thank you very much. That's exactly what I would like it to sound like, because while she is innocent until proven guilty in a courtroom, out here in the court of public opinion, she's as guilty as hell. And Bubba the Love Sponge sent me all of those parody songs, and I don't know, I didn't even dub off any of those, Bubba. We don't even really play parody songs on this show. Although I suppose we could call up Jeff Dowder and have him do one, because he's just rewritten Pipeline.
That's the nuttiest thing I ever heard. He put words to Pipeline.
Well, it's called, The Day of No Nudity, yeah.
Now, what about that other song I did?
Me and Your Girlfriend. We'll be back. Coming up, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. He's going to be talking about John Edwards. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. PhilHenryShow.com.
Phil Henry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills, sponsoring this segment of the Phil Hendry Show. Ted's of Beverly Hills, the best steak, the best drinks, the best people. Come on down.
Here at Ted's. We
want to
put our meat in your mouth.
Hey, Ted.
How you doing?
Good. Ted Bell joining us from Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California, and they sponsor this segment of our show once a week. We're going to be talking this hour about the John Edwards case, and the this was a big, big thing that happened today, Ted. John Edwards has pled guilty. Let me just grab the story. John Edwards admitted that he has done wrong and hurt others, but strongly denied breaking the law after federal prosecutors charged him on Friday with using $925,000 in under-the-table campaign contributions to hide his mistress and baby during his 2008 run for president. The two-time Democratic presidential hopeful was indicted on 6 felony charges that he violated campaign finance laws in a desperate bid to protect both his White House hopes and his image as a devoted man. We also had some audio, and we'll grab that during our first break, where I believe he's heard in court, or at least he's heard in an interview, saying, "I did not break the law." So,
I'll tell you, it's a very interesting state of affairs, Phil, when a very powerful man, and you know, I'm Ted Bell. I started this restaurant. My father started the restaurant, but as you know, my father pretty much drank up the profits of this and left to me what was a shell of a business. And I started with nothing. After my father died, my father left me nothing. And I worked my way up and developed a business that I'm very proud of today. How did I do that? I did that by being smart. I did that by understanding that I live in a world of it is the world of those that have got and those that are the gotten. And I think you know when I say that, Bill, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, it's the haves and have-nots.
Well, it's more than the haves and have-nots. It's the people that are the sharks. It's the people that try to get into the water and swim around with the sharks as if they're a bunch of dolphins. See, I don't make the mistake that I have never made the mistake, Bill, of saying that a shark is a dolphin or a, what do you call the ones with the nose?
Like a porpoise, a dolphin.
Yeah, porpoise. Porpoise. I don't make the mistake of looking at a porpoise and saying, "Well, there's a shark," or what I meant to say was, I would never say, "Oh, look, there's a porpoise. I think it's a shark," because I know it's a porpoise. But I would never look at a shark and say it's a porpoise. John Edwards got caught. Now, let's forget about what he did for 5 seconds, because there's a lot of people that have all kinds of opinions on that. He shouldn't have done it, okay? I admit it. A lot of us do things that we shouldn't have done. But I want to be practical here for just a minute, Bill, if I could. I have had in my lifetime moments that I regret. But I handle it, and I handle it in a way so that my family is not embarrassed, and so I'm not embarrassed. How do I do that? We have a fund of money, and we use that fund of money. And what we do with that fund of money is we take care of embarrassing situations.
And are these embarrassing situations, I just want to ask you, are they you? Are they people from your restaurant?
They are. They have involved me. They've involved some prominent people in my restaurant. But a lot of them have involved me, yes.
Can I ask you what the...
I would rather not. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that we use this money to take care of it.
So you're paying people off?
I would rather not comment. You know, Bill...
All right, I didn't know. You would rather just... So you use this money to take care of situations that are embarrassing, similar to John Edwards?
Similar to the John Edwards situation, yes. Now, the money is part of what the waitresses, the food servers get their tips every night. We, have garnished some of their tip money. A lot of people have complained about that and have said, "Why in my business, why do you garnish the tip money of these food servers and put this into a legal fund?" Well, we've been doing it for a long time, and the reason is simply this. If I get caught doing something that I shouldn't do, and I don't have enough money to hire the attorney to defend me, or I don't have enough money to pay off the individual that may be accusing me, we don't have a business. We don't have a restaurant. See? And so there are no food servers. There are no waitresses. There are no bartenders. Do you understand? So that pretty much, that pretty much shuts people up.
We're talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills about the John Edwards situation. You're saying that John Edwards should have taken care of this. Let's forget for a moment about the propriety of it.
Exactly.
You're saying that John Edwards should have taken care of this much more quietly and much more effectively.
Absolutely, which is exactly what I have done for over 30 years. And I understand that I recognize that I'm walking out on the edge. I'm walking out on a limb here talking about what I've done with my life. I'm not giving you specifics. But I'm telling you that everything that I've gotten involved in, and I've gotten involved in some pretty, let me just say this, I'm not proud of it. I've gotten involved in some pretty dirty, nasty situations. Some pretty septic, foul, just foul situations. Situations that I wish to God I'd never gone near. I wish to God I'd rather die that have been put through. But I always had a way of getting out of it. And Phil, I hate to say it, and I think your audience probably understands. If they don't, then they got to get it. Money takes care of a lot of things.
All right, so you've paid off a lot of people. And I understand that. Can I ask you a question? Have you paid off government officials?
I don't want to comment. I will tell you this. I'm not in the business of breaking the law. What I'm talking about here are embarrassing social situations. John Edwards is not on trial because he cheated on his wife. John Edwards is going to be on trial because he might have used money, campaign finance money, for personal use, okay? And if I were John Edwards and I'd been John Edwards' friend, I would have found a way to finance that woman and that kid. Because let's face it, this guy has got a wife and kids, and he's got a campaign. He's running for president of the United States. Now he got a woman pregnant, and she's got a kid. All right, so what do you do? Are you going to turn that into a soap opera? No, you take care of it. So you tell her to go away. You send her as far away from you as you can get her, and you make sure you get enough money flowing in her direction where she keeps her mouth shut. Now, you don't do that with campaign finance money. You got to do it with something else. You've got to do it with some very well-heeled friends or money that you have. And you're trying to tell me that John Edwards doesn't have that kind of money laying around? You know, Phil, there's an old saying, and here's where I'm getting to the point of what I want to say. John Edwards, for all of his money and all of his sophistication, and excuse me for saying this, I come from Beverly Hills. Where does he come from?
He's from North Carolina.
He's from North Carolina. He's from North Carolina. Sometimes you can't get the smell of a hog. off of you.
So you're telling me that John Edwards, for all of his money, and for all of his sophistication, and for all of his world travel, John Edwards is still basically a hick and doesn't know how to take care of this?
I can't explain it any other way. Sometimes you cannot get the stink of the farm off of you, no matter how far away you travel, no matter how many people you meet, no matter how much money you have. This never would have happened to me. And the reason why it would never happen to me is because of the fact that I would take care of it. I have the money to take care of it. And the money that we use is money that we get directly from our restaurant.
Yeah, you're taking it from food servers and waitresses.
Yeah, well, Bill, don't give me the... Please, you don't understand.
You're garnishing their tips. All right, but let's take this another place, okay?
What do you think, they're garnishing their tips? You're saying it like that's wrong. You know, like I said, they wouldn't have a job.
Let's take this another place. Don't you think it's wrong for you to be bragging about this? Don't you think it's immoral for you to be bragging about this?
Immoral about what?
You're bragging about the fact that you have had to take care of things with money. You're bragging about the fact that you've been involved in some dirty, filthy, as you said, nasty situations. You said you'd rather die than be involved in them again?
That is correct, Bill, yes. I'm not proud of that.
Okay, you're bragging about it.
I'm not bragging about it. I'm giving you my practical experience. I'm not bragging about it. What makes you think I'm bragging about it?
Well, you're talking about, if I was John Edwards, I would have had this money. I garnish the wages of my waitresses. I do this and I do that.
Well, I do. You had me on this program. Look, I sponsored this program to come in and weigh in on certain things. John Edwards is where he is today because he's stupid. Not because he cheated on his wife. Not because he had a girlfriend. Not because they had a baby. Because he's an idiot.
So John Edwards, an attorney who made millions and millions of dollars and who has run for president of the United States, has run for vice president of the United States, is an idiot.
Apparently, yes, because I'm telling you this never would have happened had it happened to me. You take care of it with money, and you make sure that you have enough money to take care of it with. Now, if John Edwards doesn't have enough money, then, you know, I'm Santa Claus. That guy has got to be loaded. Somehow, the money didn't make its way to the right people. Me? You asked me, Ted Bell? I find the money. I've got the money. I don't have... Look, Phil, I'm Ted Bell, okay? I don't have the stink of hog on me.
You give me the stink of hog. I find it very difficult to believe that a guy, whether he's from North Carolina or not, can't figure out that this is how business is done.
Well, why didn't he do it then?
I don't know.
You don't know? I know why. Because he suddenly got caught with his pants down around his ankles. He didn't know which way to run. He was standing there at the bathroom door with the pants down around the ankles. He didn't know whether to head for the stairs or to head for the bedroom where he could find a belt. He just stood there. Then, when they closed in on him, he started to run, and he fell down with his ass up in the air and the underwear coming off. What are you laughing at?
What? All right.
That's what I'm saying. And so the point that I'm making here is simply this. We are a society, Phil, where money is what makes things happen. And so I have to garnish the wages of the tips of my waitresses to put this money into a fund, and that money will be in that fund in case I need it. It's as simple as that. John Edwards was too stupid to do that. I think it's because he has the stink of hog on him. I don't know what that means.
All right. Well, you can say stink of hog, or you can just say the man's not very sophisticated, or he's not very smart, or maybe he just doesn't understand what it is, you know, to be a man that cheats on his wife.
Oh, well, don't start giving the guy an excuse.
No, I'm not doing that. I mean, maybe the guy, you know, he's a philanderer, he's a cheater, he was unfaithful to his wife, but maybe this was the first time, or maybe, you know...
Well, if you believe that, you know, if you believe that, you believe he'd make a good president.
Whatever. The point is that he wasn't as experienced as you.
Well, isn't that what you're saying?
That's what you're saying.
No, I...
Well... Look, you say you have a...
Yes, I've got a fund. You're right.
Okay, if you're telling people, here's how you handle it with money.
People cheat, you know, and it's important how you handle it.
Yeah, and the way you handle it is by garnishing the tips of your cocktail waitresses. Have they ever asked you about that?
They're not... Why, they've asked me, but I've told them it's none of their business, and it isn't any other... I tell them it's at the cost of doing business.
All right, 877-8. What about that, folks? 877-876-PHIL.
What about that, folks? What about that, folks? I know what you're going to do is you're going to make it about me now.
Hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL, as Ted Bell talks about a legal fund that he has for instances like John Edwards, and he's garnishing the tips of his cocktail waitresses. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And this segment of our program brought to you by the great people at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Right.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
We'd like you to come down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Yes, we do garnish the tip money of our food servers. It is a 10% garnishment for a legal fund that we need in this town. John Edwards.
What about that, man? How do you compare yourself to John Edwards?
Well, I'm going to say, I'm not John Edwards, Phil. I'm not out having sex with women while my wife is at home and her body tissue is being eaten away by cancer. While I'm out, can you imagine that? Can you imagine what this guy did?
Well, what are you don't want to give me specifics on what you do, okay?
I will tell you that they are sexual indiscretions. I will tell you that.
All right, so what makes your morality any better?
My morality is not a question. It is whether you hurt your family or not, Phil. I take care of it. I take care of it with money. I take care of it with enough money so that these people keep their mouths shut. All right? I haven't got the smell of hog on me. Why won't you listen to me?
The smell of hog is your way of saying that John Edwards is a North Carolinian, which means that he's got to be a hick, which means he ain't as hip as Ted Bell, which means that, he doesn't take care of life and business the way Ted Bell does.
Well, who is on trial right now, me or him?
I don't think it's about that, Ted.
Who is, no. Who's on trial right now, me or him?
He is.
Thank you. And you want to know why? Because that hillbilly, when push came to shove, that hillbilly trusted a lot of people that he should have trusted, decided to use money that he shouldn't have used. The money that he should have used is his own money, the money that he's got in a nickel can in the backyard. I don't know where he keeps the money, because that guy is stinking rich. Ted Bell doesn't do that. Not me. No. No. No, I don't play that. I use my own money.
You garnish the tips of your food servers.
I use the... That is my own money.
How is that your own money?
Because they are my employee, it is my business. I think it's wrong of you to try to compare the two.
And I don't think it is. I think it's absolutely apt. You use the tip money of your food servers for a legal fund in case you get into trouble. And, I can't even believe it, man, that you have morality that is of a kind where you need a legal fund.
What are you trying to say?
Exactly what I said. You need a legal fund because you're what? You're screwing around on your wife? You've got friends that are doing it?
I told you I didn't want to talk about it.
No, you don't want to talk about it, but John Edwards is talking about it. John Edwards is being held up in front of the entire country for ridicule.
Well, guess what? He got caught, and the country's not ridiculing him because of the mistress. It's because that guy might have stolen money.
No, the country's ridiculing him because of the mistress. The government's interested in him because of stealing money. Here is John on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Go ahead, John.
Thank you for inviting me on.
Yes, sir.
I just want to comment on a couple of things I heard on the radio tonight by your guest. Number one, John Edwards was an accomplished, and probably still is an accomplished lawyer. So how he, got his money through legal practice is really of nobody's concern. Second point I want to make is I find it,
yeah, it's the government.
And
the government's asking him where he got the money for the mistress.
Excuse me.
No, but what the man's saying is his legal.
Excuse me. Right. Let me just get my comment out. Okay,
go
I
ahead,
find
sir.
It laughable and very hypocritical for your guest to say that, You know, John Edwards is a low man. His judgment is off, but yet what he's doing is even worse. By garnishing wages from his cocktail waitresses, it's totally unacceptable, and this guy should really, you know, let's call a spade here. You know, there's really no differentiation between evil. Evil is still evil. Thanks, that's all I have to say.
Well, I don't think, no, I'm doing something entirely different, sir. I have the waitresses, they get 10% taken from their tips in case of my indiscretions, but I'm not parading them in front of my wife. I'm not saying, hey, honey, take a look at this blonde I just had sex with on the floor of the Winnebago we use for the campaign. Hey, honey, take a look at this blonde I just had sex with in a bathroom. Hey, honey.
John Edwards hasn't done that.
Well, are you kidding?
He hasn't said, hey, honey, take a look at the woman with... I mean...
Well, what did I see in the Inquirer?
You saw some guys with cameras that were taking pictures
through a bedroom window. That's exactly right.
It was not on the floor of a Winnebago. But the point being, John Edwards got caught, and you didn't.
And why didn't I get caught? Because I have money. I garnish the wages of cocktail waitresses who are going to use that money anyway. And please forgive me. They may use that money anyway to buy boyfriends drugs. I don't know.
Oh, boy, you got some low opinion of...
Look, and I've been around these cocktail waitresses my whole life. I worked with them when my father had the business. I've worked with them now. I've got great young women that work for me. There's no question about it, Bill. But if we didn't garnish the 10%, maybe that's 10% they take home and they give to a boyfriend. I'm sorry. To buy meth, I don't know.
And why do you assume that? Why don't you assume that they might use that 10% to buy a little extra something for their kids?
All right, Phil, if you want to say that, that's fine. And I'm sure that there are young ladies that do. I'm just simply saying, if I didn't take that 10% from some of them, that it goes back to a... It goes someplace else. It could be something that has to do with... You know, if we're talking about crystal meth, if we're talking about heroin...
All right, we're going to be back with Ted Bell on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
Not all of them use heroin.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Every single night to make your evening a very beautiful evening, a pleasant evening after a long day at the office. Come to Ted's. Beverly Hills and our all-day slow-cooked prime rib, Phil.
It's good, huh?
Oh, is it good? Oh, I like the way, is it good, huh? You know it's good.
I know it's good, but I guess my mind is on other things right now.
Well, hey, one of the things, if I could just interrupt you, Phil, one of the things that your mind should be on is that our restaurant, obviously, is sponsoring this program, so I'd like your mind to be on that. I'd like your mind to be on promoting us, and then you can have your mind on...
Well, Ted, excuse me, but my mind will be on what I feel my mind should be on. I'm going to be promoting your restaurant, yes, and then we're going to be talking here about John Edwards and how you say this guy has the smell of hog on him because he's still a hillbilly. He got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, and the reason for this, and you heard the gentleman in Boston agree with me, the reason for this...
Boston agree with you. That doesn't mean anything.
All right. Well, but the reason for this... It...
You know, a lot of people are going to call up and agree with you, Phil. That doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. You understand that, right? Because they just want to agree with you to agree with you.
All right. I got your point. But the point that I'm making is... Here's a guy that is world-traveled, a smart man, an intelligent guy, ran for president. You're telling me he doesn't know enough to pay enough money to get himself out of trouble. And you do.
And apparently I do, Phil.
And the way you do it, which is SMART is by garnishing 10% of the wages of your food servers there at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Phil, I'm going to say this with the greatest of respect and the greatest of love in my heart for the young women and men who work for me. I don't even think food servers would disagree with this. I don't even think food servers would disagree with this. There is 10% of every single cocktail waitress and food server, 10% of their tips a week is money that they are eventually going to take and throw down a gutter, throw right into a toilet. It's their age. It's the way they think.
You know, there's not all of them are in their 20s. A lot of food servers and lifetime members who of the food staffs of restaurants are in their 40s. These are people who are advanced in their years. They're not old people, but they're certainly smart with a dollar.
You know, I would say that may be the case, but I'd say the overwhelming majority of them are going to take at least 10% of their weekly earnings, their tips, I'm saying. They're going to take it, and I'm saying this in a figurative sense, they're going to figuratively wad it up in a ball and wipe with it.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
I'm telling you, I've seen this happen. And so when we garnish 10%, what we're doing is we are taking that 10% that they would ordinarily throw down a rat hole, and I'm putting it to some good use. And what we're using it for...
What you're using it for, Ted, is...
Can I finish what I'm saying?
What you're using it for, Ted, is to pay off people so that indiscretions that you commit, indiscretions that friends of yours commit, indiscretions that powerful friends of yours commit, never see the light of day. You're using the tip money of your young people who work for you to cover up what you do.
I'm using 10% of their tip money, not all of it, 10%, the 10% that they would use to give to a boyfriend for meth, to give to a kid to go out and get an abortion. Huh? What do you think of that? They're going to go get an abortion with the tip money.
And with the tip money, they're going to go...
What are you laughing at? I've seen this happen.
You talk about having respect for your food servers, and in the next breath, oh, well, they're going to take 10% of that money, and they're going to give it to a boyfriend so he can go buy meth.
I've seen the boyfriends of my young... Of the girls that work for me in the primary room, I've seen their boyfriends pick them up from work at night. These guys look like 100 yards of evil. Their teeth are coming out of their faces. They got some squirrely-looking Rocky and Bullwinkle hairdo. Their cheeks are sunk in. Their eyeballs are bulging out of... You know what that is? You know what that is, right?
Of what? Of the
face when they've got a Rocky and Bullwinkle hairdo.
The hell are you talking about, man?
You know what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about the hair that comes up like Robert De Niro had in that one movie.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about meth. And that's what these boyfriends and the girlfriends go to work at my place, and they get the tip money, and then they take it home, and they say, here, baby, go out and get well. And just before he does, he makes sure that he gives them a real good, swift, and very, very crisp backhand across the face while wearing their senior class ring. Now, that's what they're going through. And you're sitting there and you're telling me with a straight face, you're saying to me, boy, is it sure immoral, Phil, or rather, Ted, of you to take the money of these young women?
I think it's immoral of you to assume that 10% of their tip money, every food server's tip money, goes to give a boyfriend money for crack or goes for an abortion, which I think is judgmental of you.
How do you like that, huh? She gives it to some kid on the street. Here, go get an abortion.
What is that supposed to mean?
I'm talking about they may have a daughter or something. All we're doing... I want to do something for you, Phil, here on Ted's. We got any phone calls?
Not right now.
Yeah, I didn't think you did.
What is that supposed to mean?
It just means that I don't think there's a whole lot of people that disagree with what I'm saying, that's why. People know that what I'm saying is the truth. People know that what I'm saying is the way the world works. Phil, there are dreamers like you, and there are guys like me who live in reality. I want to play. I just was listening to this tonight. Okay, can you hear this? You hear that?
Yes.
That's a song called The Lonely... The Lonely something. The Bull? The Lonely Bull. That song is my theme song. It reminds me of when I first got into the restaurant business. I would sit in the parking lot and I'd play this at full blast before I came out of the car and into the restaurant. because I was the toreador. I was going to go in, and I was going to take that bull, and I was going to turn it into a nice, neat stack of steaks sitting in a freezer. And that's how I look at life, Phil.
Yeah, but Ted, today, can we turn that down?
No, we can't turn it down. Hold on for a minute. Hey, right here. La da 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 da. I love that. See, I would sit in the car, in a parked car, in a dark parking lot before the sun came up. That's how early I got to work. Okay, don't turn that down. Don't you ever touch that. I don't give a damn. Don't ever touch it. One of my servers, one of the busboys. I would sit in a dark parking lot, Phil, and I would sit in my car and I'd play this full blast. And I remember a cop one day, a Beverly Hills cop, pulling his gun on me and wondering who the hell was I. He thought I broke into the car. I looked that bad because I was hungover. But
okay, I get it, man. This is your theme song.
Yeah, it's my theme song. I've got a theme song, Phil. Have you got a theme song? Do any of the people in your audience have a theme song? Huh? Listen to this. Right here. Here it goes. La da 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 dee dee dee. This is the Lonely Bull, Phil.
Ted, thank you.
Ted, thank you, but you can go straight to hell. Is that what you're going to say?
No, I was going to say thank you, but I think it begs the question of what we're talking about.
Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about me taking money from my food servers who would otherwise spend it to get an abortion and using it so that I can maintain my reputation. And you got something that's bad. Hello?
Yeah, it's bad. It's hypocritical. It's a lot of things, Ted. It's bad. It's hypocritical. It's a lot of things.
I'd like to give me one reason.
No, I've given you a million reasons why. I don't care whether John Edwards is hip enough to understand how to pay people off. I don't know whether John Edwards has enough money to pay people off. Maybe he made the mistake of paying the wrong people. You seem to think that if John Edwards were smart enough to pay the right people and he never got caught, he'd be a man among men. I don't think so, and I don't think that's how most people think. Whether you're caught or whether you're not, whether you are free or whether you are trapped like a rat, you still did something that punches another hole in someone's reality somewhere. It lets the air out of life. It makes life a little lousier, guys like you.
Well, hold the phone for a minute.
Yeah, I know. You're going to sarcastically applaud.
No, I wouldn't sarcastically applaud. I would never do that. No, Phil, what I want to do is something even better. This is way, way better than sarcastically applauding. Listen to this. This is live in Japan. Ladies and gentlemen.
All right, I get your point.
No, hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, Phil Hendry, well, he just stood up for all the little guys. What the hell is this? What is this? Turn it off! Don't ever put that. Don't you ever do that again. I had to belt one of my shirts.
What happened?
I'll tell you. What do you mean, what happened? That's the Ventures? I'm playing Lonely Bull. There's only one guy, Herb Alpert. Lonely Bull, one guy, Herb Alpert. You know that, right?
Well, I know he had the hit.
No. I'm not doing some Joel Whitburn top 40 DJ show. The song that goes right to the guts of every American is the Herb Alpert version of Lonely Bull, not the Ventures. I don't care how big they were in Japan. I don't give a damn if the Ventures themselves could roll back the radiation of Hiroshima. We don't put it on this. We don't put it on your show.
I put on my show what I want to put on my show.
Really? Well, guess what? Yeah! Don't ever put the Ventures on again, Billy.
I'm above as you want, Billy.
Yeah, well, whatever you said. This is the song that powered me all the way.
Get out of here, you and your Ventures, or your whatever that.
That's Herb Alpert.
Herb Alpert, fine.
Well, you gotta buy the guy.
Admire him? I think he's crackers. I think he's as nuts as Bobby Dooley, sitting in his car in the dark of the morning, listening to the Lonely Bull, to the point where he's got a Beverly Hills cop pulling his gun on him. Wow! Wow, that's all I can say, folks. W-O-W. Fort Wayne. I'm kidding. All right. Actually, there's a WOWO, but our Fort Wayne affiliate is not that, and we're very happy for that. All right, our Phil Henry Show continues here. For all I know, we are on that station. I've just gotten us bumped off. We'll be right back here. Our number, of course, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-PHIL. All right, bud.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our News and Information Hour coming up as well.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Next hour, we got our News and Information Hour. And just a reminder, our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, where you can pick up a backstage pass and watch live streaming video of our show each and every night on Phil TV in HD. People with backstage passes tonight have been seeing our show in Phil TV in HD.
Pretty weird, too.
You call it weird. I call it theater.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean about it.
Well, then call it theater. Don't call it weird.
I don't know what that is.
Theater's weird, okay? Now do you know what it is?
Yeah.
So anyway, and also check out our merchandise store. When you go to the Phil Henry Show website, you can pick up our T-shirt. You can pick up our shot glass. We got a classy, really cool shot glass, dishwasher safe, as well as our coffee mug. In other words, everything we do on our website when it comes to merchandise, we don't roll out a whole lot of merchandise at once. Is it's got to be top of the line. We don't put any crap out there, okay? Our Phil Henry Show T-shirt is a beautiful thing. It's 100% cotton. We've got it in all sizes from large up to triple X. All of our classic CDs, legacy CDs, our best of CDs are there. PhilHenryShow.com, and that's the Phil Henry Shop. Just hit shop there in the button. All right. Call it digital sleuthing in the high-tech age. This is an amazing story, and I'm going to put on, if you are watching Phil TV in HD, there is a picture of a guy that stole someone's MacBook, and he didn't know that he was being looked at by the guy who, you know, who he stole the MacBook from. This dude is using this guy's computer. Look at this guy.
That guy, that's a nightmare of every troll that ever was.
Yeah, this guy looks like the kind of guy, he looks like a troll. He looks like the kind of guy you just want to kick his ass just because he's there. And you got nothing else to do. Call it digital sleuthing in the high-tech age. A man's MacBook is stolen. He activates, get this, a $15 application, snaps photos of the alleged thief, posts them on a blog, and 2 months later the computer is retrieved and the suspect is arrested by the cops. Imagine the surprise of this troll of this guy. It was actually a cab driver who said that he bought it. No, he didn't buy it. He said he got it as a gift from a relative. Well, that's horse dung. You know why? When you get a gift of a computer from a relative, or if you just get a gift of a computer, you don't have to spend, like, the first day erasing somebody else's information.
Yeah, he wasn't like the other guy who's on Google or something.
This dude, the guy, the Mac thief, started erasing this guy's personal information, his email account, everything, and started logging on with Google. According to the blog that was kept by Joshua Kaufman, whose Apple MacBook was stolen from his Oakland, California apartment on March the 24th, he reported the crime immediately and then began collecting photos of the person using his computer with the help of Hidden. Hidden is an app that lived up to its name. He posted on his Tumblr blog photos of a man sleeping, using the computer, and driving with the laptop open. And like I say, on our homepage, on our website, this is a picture of this jackass sitting there using the computer with his shirt. It's probably stark naked. For all I know, he's logged onto my site.
Yeah, I think it's one of your listeners.
I think this guy's posting in the comments section on our website. But the crime was given low priority by the Oakland Police Department because the value of the computer is relatively low compared to other goods. But Kaufman started tweeting the photos to 6,000 followers after he got a fix on his computer's location. Tweets linking to Kaufman's blog, "This guy has my MacBook," that's the name of the guy's blog, spread to reporters, and the story soon started appearing on websites and blogs. ABC News said that when its Good Morning America reporter called the Oakland Police Department checking if the blog was a hoax or just a promotion, the cops reopened the case and in short order lured the suspect to an arrest. Citing police, ABC identified the suspect as Muthanna Aldebashi, a 27-year-old cab driver from Alameda. Well, the computer was recovered and returned to Kaufman, who hasn't revealed details about himself or commented beyond his blogs and his tweets. The story is great publicity for both UK-based Hidden, which offers computer protection plans ranging from $15 per year for one computer to $395 for up to 100 computers for businesses with theft recovery assistance included. It's also good publicity for Apple, showing the loyalty of its users, and for Twitter.
You know, every time you go to that guy's face, you go back to your own face, it looks like you're morphing from that guy to that guy.
What?
Why'd you speak English? I am speaking English, man. Watch. Go ahead. Hit it. See that? Look like your face turned.
All right. So it looks like my face turns into that. Yeah, it does. Wow. That is weird. Anyway. But as much it may teach users to protect their hardware, the story could also serve as a warning to thieves to beware of tracking software. Now the cat's out of the bag. That's right. Consultant Rob Enderle of the Enderle Group said that while a professional thief may wipe a computer's memory, knowing there are programs such as LoJack that may track them, casual thieves typically aren't known for their long attention spans or their avid interest in either tech publications or in news shows. Cybersecurity expert Graham Cluley of Sophos said most computers are stolen by opportunistic thieves rather than tech-savvy criminals. So in other words, these guys may knock off the heisting of these small computers because the guys that tend to steal these little things are not big-time criminals. They're just guys that they're the criminals of opportunity. He said the low price of laptops has made them a low priority for thieves because the secondary market is weak. What that means is professional thieves pick other things that are more valuable and easily more transportable, jewelry, money, and so forth. Laptops are generally stolen by opportunists. That's just what I said, and I didn't even read that part of the article. That shows you how tech-savvy I is.
Right on, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. Hell, his name is. Now, again, he said that he had gotten the laptop as a gift from a relative. Yeah, sure. Because if it was a gift, how come you was changing all that information? He's full of crap. So he probably knew it was stolen. You know.
Yeah, I probably found out from his relative, said, yeah, I just boosted this laptop. Do you care? No.
All right. Well, it's the news and it's the information hour. Put it together. That means Robert and Bud coming up next on the world famous Phil Henry Show. Art Bell will make an appearance on our show. That's right. And check us out on the web at www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. Also, check us out on Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhenry. twitter.com/realphilhenry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah.
Look out.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome to our News and Information Hour. We have Robert Leonard with us. Robert, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
And Bud?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Henry.
Oh, aren't you guys polite? Oh, that's right. I kicked your asses out of here last night.
Yeah, we just want to prove we can be... You don't kick us out. Yeah, it was very embarrassing, Mr. Henry. We don't, you know...
Get closer to the mic, will you? I hear you guys a mile away from the mic.
That was very embarrassing that you kick us out.
Yeah, we didn't think we deserved it.
Oh, you deserved it, all right. Don't worry about it. You deserved it. You're bawling. You're crying. You're pissed off. Yeah, you guys deserved it. So, I will be the final say on all of those things.
Well, I mean, we just might not take it.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
You know.
No, I don't know. What is that supposed to mean?
You mean just step over the line with us.
Oh, well, how about that, huh? Step over the line? Go ahead, both of you, right now. Go ahead.
Oh, we're just saying, don't push us.
Come on, I'll take you one at a time then. Step over the line, huh? Here, how do you like that?
Don't shove me.
Don't you guys tell me what's going to happen.
You don't like the way it... Sometime something bad might happen.
Something bad might happen. Well, anytime you guys feel like bringing it, you go right ahead.
Yeah, well, I said maybe.
Uh-huh. Who's putting you guys up there? Are you kidding or something? There must be something going on. Is Rance doing this? He's putting you up to this, huh? What are you looking at him? You know, you guys are doing something here.
I didn't do nothing.
You looked at him, and he was smiling. Something's going on. I'll find out what it is, too. In the meantime, our news and information... I just saw you wink at him.
No, I didn't do nothing.
Our news and information hour, and this is a story that I find gladdening to the heart. British soldier cited for holding off up to 30 Taliban by himself, fired over 400 rounds, detonated 17 grenades, and one mine. Let's please hope that this isn't one of those hoax stories, you know. Britain's newest hero is from Nepal. That's right. Queen Elizabeth II this week awarded Britain's second highest award for bravery, the Conspicuous Gallantry Cross, to Acting Sergeant Diprasad Poon of the Royal Gurkha Rifles, baby.
What's that?
Well, the Gurkhas are members of the British Army established specifically for Nepalese recruits. See, back in the day when they had all these empires, they had... What are you smiling at him? What are you guys doing?
We just want to give you a gift. And we, you know...
You wanted to give me a gift, huh?
Yeah, here.
This is that lavender tea rub. Get... You know what? I'm going to kick somebody's... Get out of here. Give me a gift. They give me some rub straight out of some... Straight out of Dean Wheeler's exotic spa, man. That's what that is.
Well, I thought you liked the smell of it.
I do like the smell of it. It doesn't mean I want to rub down with it. Would you guys go get me a Coke or something, huh? Anyway, the Royal Gurkha Rifles. Now, here's what was the de rigueur, if you will, or the way to do things back in the day, was during the empire times, these empires, the French, the British, and so forth, sometimes would employ foreign troops in their own specialized units. Sometimes they would just be members of the, you know, the colonial army. But there would not be anything all that specialized about it. And in some instances, they would have specialized units. The French Foreign Legion is an example of that.
What's that about, anyway?
The French Foreign Legion?
Yeah.
The French Foreign Legion was established by the French to defend their colonial possessions. And by colonial possessions, I mean lands beyond France that the French administered. Much of them... When the French Foreign Legion was formed, much of them in Africa, and some of them in the Middle East and elsewhere. And the French Foreign Legion, it wasn't started because it was a legion of Frenchmen that served in foreign lands. It was started as a legion of men from other countries who swore allegiance to the French flag.
Well, you can't do that if you're American.
I don't know if you can't do that if you're America. I don't think that, yeah, I think you can. I mean, I saw a thing on a French Foreign Legion. They had three or four Americans, and these cats are hardcore, these French Foreign Legion guys. You can't find anything like them in the American Armed Forces other than the Marine Corps. They're very, very similar to the Marines in their esprit de corps, in their...
What's that?
In their pride, their unit pride. And in their training, and in how tough these guys are, they're out in the desert, and their training is pretty brutal. But you have the French Foreign Legion. These cats are from Germany. There's a lot of guys from England.
Where's the French guy?
There's a lot of French guys. Most of the French guys are officers. Everybody's got to speak French, as far as I could tell. Even the American, they had an American who was a sergeant. And he was in charge of this one class of recruits that had just come in. He spoke French. But these dudes are really tough. I mean, like I said, if you watch any of these shows on Military Channel, like the Marine Corps Paris Island thing you were watching, Robert?
Yeah, well, I thought that was Camp Pillen.
No, that was Paris Island. It's very similar to that. They're hard ass, but fair. You know, there's no sense in beating a man up because, you know, after a while he's going to be asking himself, what did I join this unit for? But the point being, that's why they have these foreign units. And the British come up with this Royal Gurkha Rifles. These are a bunch of riflemen who are Nepalese. So this man by the name of Diprasad Poon, a sergeant in the Royal Gurkha Rifles, is stationed as a lone sentry at a checkpoint in Afghanistan's Helmand province. The date, September the 17th. Now, he fends off an attack by up to 30 Taliban fighters. Pun said in an interview with the British Foreign News, there were many Taliban around me. I thought they were definitely going to kill me. I thought before they kill me, I'm going to kill some of them. Defending the base from the roof, this Royal Gurkha rifleman, this lone rifleman, remained under continuous attack from rocket-propelled grenades and AK-47s for more than a quarter of an hour.
Where was everybody else?
I don't know, bud. We'll find out. It's a good question, though. Where were they? Most of the militants were about 50 feet away from him. But at one point, he turned around to see a huge Taliban fighter looming over him. The soldier picked up his machine gun and fired a long burst at the man until he fell off the roof. When another insurgent tried to climb up to his position, the Gurkha attempted to shoot him with his SA-80 rifle, but it did not work, either because it had jammed or because the magazine was empty. He first grabbed a sandbag, but it had not been tied up, and the contents fell to the floor. Then he seized the metal tripod of his machine gun and threw it at the approaching Taliban militant, shouting in Nepali, "Marku Talai," which is, "I will kill you, you no good dirty..."
Really?
No, I'm adding stuff on, but "I will kill you," and knocking him down. It's kind of like when John Gibson said that.
"I will kill you."
Yeah. Two insurgents were still attacking by the time the heroic Gurkha had used up all of his ammunition, but he set off a claymore mine to repel them. Claymores are these perimeter mines that you can set off by remote control. At this point, his company commander, Major Sean Chandler, arrived at the checkpoint with an Egg McMuffin and a Coke and said, "Do you want anything else?" And then realized, "No, I'm kidding." No, he didn't.
"Man, you don't make fun of that, man."
"I ain't making fun of him. I'm making fun of the guy that just showed up." Anyway, at this point, his company commander, Major Sean Chandler, arrived at the checkpoint, slapped him on the back, and asked if he was okay.
"You all right, man?" "Yeah, jeez, man. Where was you guys?"
"I don't know. We're down here at the McDonald's."
"McDonald's? I got 50 of these mothers here."
"I don't know. Here, we got you this."
"What's that?"
"Hash browns, and we got you a sausage McMuffin."
"I don't want a sausage. I told you guys for the 50th time."
They go down to McDonald's to get this guy breakfast. Meanwhile, he gets hit by 50 Taliban, and when they come back, they got the wrong order.
"You're kidding, right?"
"Yes, I'm kidding." God! Anyway, Major Sean Chandler arrived at the checkpoint, slapped him on the back, took a sip of his coffee, and said, "Well, I'm going to be inside napping, man. Could you clean it all up for me?" In total, he fired off 250 general-purpose machine gun rounds, 180 SA-80 rounds, 6 phosphorus grenades, 6 normal grenades, 5 underslung grenade launcher rounds, and 1 claymore mine. The only weapon he did not use was the traditional Gurkhi knife carried by Gurkhas because he did not have it with him at the time.
Probably sounded it's against a regulation. They're going to give him a penalty.
Yeah, they probably gave him crap for that. In the meantime, they're giving him the guy's getting a medal, bud. You know that. He's getting the second highest award for valor. The married soldier, whose father and grandfather were also members of the Royal Gurkha Rifles, is originally from the village of Bhima in western Nepal, but now lives in Ashford, Kent. Pun's actions saved the lives of 3 fellow soldiers at the checkpoint and were the bravest seen in this battalion over 2 hard tours in Afghanistan, according to his medal citation. It's outstanding. He was not wounded in the firefight. His citation says that he survived unscathed, and that it is simply incredible. Throughout Dip's actions, he was under almost constant intense fire. Dip's courage and gallantry were simply astonishing. In fact, we don't believe him. We think he's a lion stink. No, they didn't say that.
Let me see that one.
Hey, they didn't say it, man. Come on.
They say a lion stinking, man. That's a man of color.
I know he's a man of color. I'm kidding around. He's a brave man. Okay, Robert, take it easy. All right, Pun, age 31, joined the British military in 2000. He served in Bosnia and Kosovo. Like other Gurkhas, Pun is from Nepal. The Gurkhas were incorporated into British forces after their fighting skill impressed the opposition British during the Nepal Wars of 1814 and 1816. As part of the peace treaty ending that conflict, Gurkhas were admitted into East India Company's army and then into the British military. Gurkhas recruited solely in Nepal remain Nepalese citizens during their service. Gurkha unit officers are British. Huh?
That guy's going to, what award are you going to get?
He is getting, and he's getting it from Queen Elizabeth, he's going to be getting the Conspicuous Gallantry Cross. It is the second highest award for valor in the British Armed Services. There you go. Man, that's heavy. You know, and I don't mean to be a jackass, but I sure hope that this is true, you know?
What do you say that for?
Because how many times, man, do we find out this stuff is horse dung? The guy made it up, the this, the that.
Yeah, but they gotta check all that stuff out, from what I hear.
They do. They have to do a big investigation. So let's hope that they do a thorough one. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and, of course, philhendryshow.com. Art Bell is going to be joining us next. And General Johnson Jameson, what have they got to say and to do and to what end? We'll find out. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And now, Coast to Coast with Art Bell. Yes, for all of you pains in the ass that have been requesting an Art Bell bit, he's back. West of the Rockies is west of the Rockies. East of the Rockies, that's east of the Rockies. South of the Rockies is south of the Rockies. North of the Rockies is north of the Rockies. And never the twain shall meet. And now, here's Art Bell.
And thank you very much, Ross Mitchell, and good evening, all the ships at sea, from all the continental points in this world and beyond, the solar system, and certainly Orion's Belt. Welcome to Coast, I'm Art Bell, and you sound pretty bad, Ross. Art Bell has throat cancer, Ross Mitchell has throat cancer, that's my guess, because he's been out of practice. Coming up in our program this evening, we are going to be talking with General Johnson Jameson. And because General Jameson has been working on superpowers, can you research yourself and come up with your own superpowers? We'll find out from General Johnson Jameson in just a moment. But first, this from Peenemann Enterprises. No rapture, no problem. You've sold all the things that you own in this world because you thought the rapture was on its way, and guess what? No, it wasn't. Well, there is a new garage sale idea called We'll Take It Out of Your Ass. That's right. You may not have anything worth selling, but you do have you. And we can sell you off to anyone we want to. That's correct. Selling you off to anyone that we want to, splitting the profit with you, we can get you right back up to zero in no time at all. We'll Take It Out of Your Ass farms you out to such places as the Middle East, the Balkan States, China, and the deepest, darkest parts of Russia. Working as slave labor or an indentured servant, We'll Take It Out of Your Ass eventually can amass enough money that you're back to square one in no time. And by no time, we mean 30 years. We'll Take It Out of Your Ass. In fact, someone just took it right out of my Mike Oldfield song. New from Peenemann Enterprises. And welcome back here. As you know, we are attempting to do an Art Bell bit here, but we are with a brand new company. And as such, the production that is available to us is much substandard. And so we have to go with these half-baked beds and sort of bad-sounding dancing queen. Uh-oh, they must have dumped me. I'm criticizing someone, aren't I? We are now going to get on the line here, General Johnson Jameson, and General Jameson at his bunker complex in Saskatchewan. General Jameson, how are you doing?
What the hell is... What was it?
I'm just trying to get through this bit with as little, you know, calamity as possible.
I heard the Mike Oldfield cut off. It's all right. You'll live through it. You do what you do, right? You do what you do. Why don't you put on a bed of music that's longer so it don't cut off? You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know what we've got. I suppose we could use... Oh, this is perfect, and it's great overnight music, too. Let's try this. I think this will work. Here.
Pomp and circumstance?
It'll have to do, General Jameson.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm working on my superpowers, as you know. You know, the X-Men is a great film. I'm being inspired by this music.
You sound great.
The X-Men was a great film, but not great enough. No, in that film, they were experimented on by mad scientists. But what does a mad scientist do who wants to have superpowers like me? General Johnson Jameson. I experimented on myself. Using murine, visine, and some other very highly confidential chemicals, I gave myself X-ray vision. And now I can see through everything. Everything.
Why did you give yourself X-ray vision, General Jameson? Don't mind me asking.
Because I wanted to look through a girl's dress. But now I can see through a guy. Oh, God.
And you're telling me now you're looking through things you don't want to look through?
No, I don't. I don't want to look through a guy's pants. But I have to. I have no choice. No choice at all.
What, well, how are you dealing with it?
Well, I'm just trying to look people right in the eye. You know, when I talk to a guy, I look him in the eye, but then I'm seeing through his skull into the great beyond.
Oh, God. Why?
Are you still looking through girls' dresses and things like that?
Well, of course. Of course. As long as I've got this X-ray vision, I might as well put it to good use, you know. But even still, you know, it ain't all it's cracked up to be, because now I can see right through the women and through their butt. And, oh, man. I can see on the other side of their butt.
On the other side of their butt?
Yes. I've got X-ray vision.
Oh, I understand. So you're seeing...
Yeah, I'm seeing right through... I can see the opposite side of their ass. So what I'm saying to you, Art, and I say this with the greatest of respect... love, joy, confidence, and all the other things that make up our relationship. Why are you playing this music?
I told you, Tubular Bells ran out.
Oh. I got me some X-ray vision. Now, Igor is going to help as we step out into the sunlight of this day. Igor and I, and he will have to conduct me, of course, Art, as you know, because there's just too much that I have to deal with here. All right, we're out here in the... out here in the great beyond, and I'm just walking down a street, just any old street. Boy, I tell you, it's quite a nice day to be walking down a street. And, oh, look at this, a bowling alley. It's a woman, and I think she's going to get a strike, but that doesn't matter to me, because she just ran.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at her follow-through. Wait. Yeah, Igor, lead me over here to this... delicatessen, will you?
All right, man.
Hi, how you doing? Let me have, I'll have a cruller, and I'll take a malted milk. And let me have a, oh, God, what is that? Oh, I thought that was a side of beef. That's a kid. All right.
What are you doing?
I can't tell a kid from a, what are you doing to me?
You didn't get it, man. Oh, ham.
I did want a baked ham. That's a kid. A kid. Good God, Art. I almost purchased someone's kid. It's a honey baked ham. Good Lord.
I mean, good Lord.
This is General Johnson Jameson. I'm going to have to get out of here. I've got to take it. I got to take this the hell out of here, man. I got to take it the hell out of here.
Man, I didn't know.
The hell you didn't know. I'm General Johnson Jameson. Thank God it isn't Easter, because I would have gone ahead and bought that kid.
You thought it was a honey-baked ham because of your...
Because of my X-ray vision? Yes! Do you understand? Finally. All right, Igor? Thank you. That lets everyone know that I'm coming into the laboratory to have my eyeballs readjusted. I can't take it. By the way, I got myself a honey-baked ham here if anybody... it's the kid again, man.
I understand. General Jameson, we have to take a break. I'm sure you understand. I hope that you are well and good and high and bye.
High and bye. Hi, bye.
Phil Hendry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, what's going on with this guy Wiener? I guess we should update you on that. Anthony Weiner is the guy that allegedly sent this picture. So he is he's a member of the House Democratic leadership as well. Other members of the House Democratic leadership talked repeatedly to this guy to try to get him to end what several Democrats called an unwelcome political distraction. A member of the party's leadership said yesterday, Weiner told reporters he'll no longer answer any questions about the matter. Well, that's not really going to end it if he's not answering questions about the matter. It's frustrating because we'll talk to him, we'll tell him to clean it up, and then he goes out and does stuff, said a member of the House Democratic leadership who declined to speak for the record about private discussions with Weiner because he was told not to, and he went ahead and did it anyway. So nice going, pal.
Why do you do that? And they told her not supposed to talk.
They do it because they owe a guy a favor. They do it because the guy owes them a favor. They do it, you know, all of this, you know, you are not to comment on anything. That only goes so far. That stuff only goes so far, you know.
Well, I mean, they told a guy don't comment, and the guy commented.
The guy that commented probably is friends with the reporter on some level, or knows the guy, or owes the guy a favor, or some bullcrap, man. I don't know. Didn't you guys see All the President's Men?
Uh-uh.
Oh, you got to see All the President's Men, or read the book. That's about Woodward and Bernstein, and everything that they went through to uncover all of the falderall around the Watergate situation. Let me get the bloody audio up here, man. Tonight's audio, so I can figure out what's going on. Here is Anthony Weiner, and even though it says we have four Weiner cuts, pardon my language, there's only three that were in the. There were only three that we had. So anyway, here is Weiner. He claims he's answering any and all questions reporters are posing to him, but there's a typical here's a typical exchange with a reporter, in this case from CBS, where he doesn't answer the question that's posed to him.
Congressman, I think the main question that everyone has is, was that a picture of you?
Well, the main question that a lot of people are asking is, did I send the photograph? I did not. This was a prank, a hoax.
So it sounds like it was a photo of you.
Well, we're going to try to find out exactly what happened.
All right. Many wonder why Weiner isn't involving the FBI if his account was indeed hacked. CBS analyst Jack Ford has a theory. Weiner's lying about what really happened.
It's not against the law to lie to the media, not against the law to lie to your constituents. It is against the law to lie to law enforcement authorities. So if I'm a lawyer looking at a case such as this, I'm going to be real careful before I let my client talk to law enforcement authorities.
House Majority, what is he talking to law enforcement about? Oh, the fact that his computer was hacked. Okay. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor spoke to Fox and Friends.
I think the American people are sick of seeing their elected officials tied up into scandals like this. I really think it's sad. And obviously there's not a lot of clarity surrounding the reports. I advise him to come clean and clear it up. I mean, again, perhaps he's trying, but I know there's a lot of explaining going on without a lot of clarity. And again, the American people are right in saying that they don't have tolerance for this repeated kind of activity going on surrounding their elected leaders.
Right.
I just think, again,
right.
Think about his wife. I mean,
right.
I'm really saddened for his wife, and I think they've only been married a short time.
What do you think, Sean?
Come look at my sexy pics.
All right. But the fact is that it's Democrats and Republicans. That's what these jackasses don't want to tell you. They don't want to. There's Cantor, and he's a great guy, and Cantor is clean as the driven snow, and I'm sure he's a good man. Republicans are getting wrapped up in this stuff. Democrats getting wrapped up in this stuff. Why don't you guys stop with the politics? Because Cantor is the first guy to say, if it's a Republican, well, let's move on, okay? It's a distraction, you know what? They love these distractions, the other side. The Democrats love these distractions. And if it's a Democrat, well, generally the same kind of thing. Oh, we're giving the Republicans all they want. The Republicans don't have anything else to talk about. Now we're giving them something to talk about. Because it in this country, whether we say we want a bipartisanship or not, we're never going to have it. We like bipartisanship. Let's face it. We like it because it keeps the extremists from taking over.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? I mean this. We like, when I say we like bipartisanship, I mean we like partisanship. We like to have the fight. Because when there is a fight, that means there is a kind of a gridlock. And when there is a gridlock, there's generally the choosing of the middle ground. And when you choose the middle ground, you don't have to rely on, you don't have to worry about extremism taking over. The extremists on the left, the extremists on the right. You're going to have a sort of slow plodding journey right smack dab down the middle. You know, it reminds me of that when we watched John Adams. You remember what John Adams said in that one scene? He says, "The middle ground, gentlemen. I don't want to be on the middle way."
Yeah, I remember that, I think.
Well, I don't either, but it sounds good. It sounds like something he would have said. Anyway,
come look at my sexy pics.
That's what John Adams said. So it's frustrating. He says, "We'll talk to the guy, and he won't come clean." All right, he doesn't come clean. He's lying, he's lying, he's lying, he's lying. One of the things that I think we're learning is that when you become a famous person, whether you're a famous elected official, whether you're a famous, I don't know, whether you're a famous actor, whether you're anything, it happens so fast. I think it happens so rapidly that you don't have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. You don't have everything covered, you know? And you get a little flush with the fame and you do a dumb thing. You know, the example being that this guy is sending Twitter pics to people. And he, wait a second, I'm a very famous guy. I'm a representative. I'm on the news every night. What have I done? I think they're that stupid. We've seen it before. And like I was saying the other night, we got people that are supposedly really smart. They blog, they write for a living, they do marvelous things, they're well-respected, they are, you know, they're teaching at the University of, at Yale, they're teaching at Columbia, but get them around Twitter, and suddenly they're the dumbest thing that ever, you know, got out of the cradle. They're just dumb.
Well, what about that one guy?
Well, the guy you're talking about, that teacher?
Yeah.
That guy is a classic example. He started out, I forget who it was that he was ripping, but it was a female. And he started out, might have been, oh, I know who it was. It was the woman who was caught up in that horrific scene in Egypt.
Yeah, that's right. They're talking about, she got raped or she got touched or something, and he was making fun of it.
He was making fun of it. He was blowing it. He was blowing it more ways than you could possibly. It made me think that this guy, in truth, could care less about women. That's just his public posture. You know, oh, wow, I really care about the rights of women. But in point of fact, if it's the wrong kind of woman, he doesn't care. And so he started talking about this woman from CBS News in a very disparaging way. The stuff gets out on Twitter, and suddenly you're caught, man, and you can't take that back. And it was really embarrassing how that ass tried to take it back, too. He said, okay, all right, I'm sorry, but... I mean, he did about 5, 6, 7, 8 times until finally, you know, they put the match to him. He went up, man, like dried hay. All right, so and so that's what happens when you're tweeting. Near Rosen was that guy's name. Where is he now? Do you know where he is? Has anybody found head nor hair of Near Rosen? Is he laying low? Will he, if you'll pardon the term, lay?
Yeah, he's getting laid low.
He got laid low. All right. So, yeah, Near Rosen was a guy's name, and that cat is now, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Now, who knows? Maybe this time next year he'll pop back up, all refreshed, reinvigorated, you know, reconstituted, plump and fully packed. I don't know. Other news story, Dr. Jack Kevorkian dead at 83. We'll be back. No.
What if you had a suicide doctor, I'd have him do it.
Well, let's see. Assisted suicide advocate Dr. Jack Kevorkian passed away early Friday morning at William Beaumont Hospital in Royal Oak. Longtime associate and friend Jerry Figer said Kevorkian died of a pulmonary embolism. He was 83 years of age. Last night I got a call about 10:30 from one of the doctors telling me that he had taken a turn for the worse. According to Kevorkian's attorney, Kevorkian had been hospitalized for nearly 2 weeks with kidney and respiratory problems. He had a cancerous lesion, but that they felt was operable. Everything seemed to be, shall we say, solvable, except he got the thrombosis, a clot that came into the lungs, and that's where that's bad, man. Kevorkian passed away with his niece by his side. Born in 1928 in Detroit, Kevorkian graduated from the University of Michigan's medical school. He became a pathologist. He first became interested in euthanasia during his internship years when he watched a middle-aged woman die of cancer. She was so emaciated, her sagging, discolored skin covered her bones like a cheap, wrinkled frock, according to Kevorkian. After building a suicide device in 1989 from parts he found in flea markets, he sought his first assisted suicide candidate by placing advertisements in local newspapers. Newspaper and TV interviews brought more attention. On June 4th of 1990, he drove his van to a secluded park of Detroit. After Janet Adkins of Portland, Oregon, met him there, He inserted a needle into her arm, and when she was ready, she flipped the switch that released a lethal flow of drugs. He later switched from his device to canisters of carbon monoxide, again insisting patients took the final step by removing a clamp that released the flow of deadly gas to the face mask. Kevorkian earned the nickname Dr. Death in the 1990s when he admittedly assisted in the suicides of more than 130 terminally ill patients. He told CBS News that he never regretted his actions. In 1998, the Michigan legislature and then Governor John Engler passed a law banning assisted suicide in an effort to stop Kevorkian. In response, he released his two-page manifesto calling lawmakers unethical and corrupt. He was convicted in 1999. He spent more than 8 years behind bars for the death of Lou Gehrig's disease patient, Thomas Yauch of Waterford, who said he wanted to die but lacked the ability to do it himself, a suicide that was seen around the world on 60 Minutes. Kevorkian's life story became the subject of the 2010 HBO film You Don't Know Jack, which earned Al Pacino an Emmy and a Golden Globe for his portrayal of Kevorkian.
What did you think of that guy?
What did I think of Kevorkian?
Yeah.
I thought what he did was ethical. I thought what he believed in was ethical. I thought maybe he went about it publicizing it the wrong way. I thought that that probably the way he went about getting, shall we say, exposure for his work or publicity for his work, or maybe it was just, you know, he was feeling his way, and in the electronic and beyond age of mass media, everything was moving so fast people didn't understand. But I don't think that Jack Kevorkian was a murderer by any stretch of the imagination. No way. Never, ever was there anything to indicate this guy murdered people or took people's lives away from them against their will. Didn't happen. And that's all there is to that. And I know that a lot of people like to make a big freaking moral issue out of this bull crap. It pisses me off. You know,
well, I mean, man, you know, if someone's going to die, you know, life is precious, man.
Life may be precious. I understand that life is precious. But an individual that wants to take his own or her own life because they're in such agony or in such pain, in my opinion, they ought to be allowed to do that. And if they are unsure of how to do that, or they don't want to do it in a painful way or in an overly destructive way, or they don't want to traumatize their relatives, or they don't want to hurt their friends, and they seek the assistance of a doctor like Jack Kevorkian, I understand that, you know.
Well, if you want to kill suicide, why don't you jump off a bridge?
Because they don't want to. Did you hear what I just said, man?
Well,
they don't want to jump off a bridge. That's going to, what do you think that's going to do to a family member? They want to do it in such a way that their body is, you know. Oh, yeah, I think I'll jump off a bridge. You'll never be able to find my body. It gets sucked out into the Pacific Ocean. I'm assuming Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, that'd be my choice.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Well, you thought it's okay.
I said a person, yes, I suppose. I think if you're going to take your own life, you shouldn't do it in such a way that your family is hurt, that your body is desecrated or otherwise is, you know, your body is somehow bruised or battered so that it's you know, it hurts your family. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, what are you talking about? Like, if you jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, they ain't never going to find it.
Okay, fine. So you jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, and your family doesn't have a body to bury. That, I bet you that makes them feel real good.
What about a jacket?
What do you mean, what about a jacket?
They could bury a suit of pants or something.
I'm going to belt you, man.
What? What?
Yeah, that's right. Let's put a jacket and a pair of pants in there.
Better than nothing.
Anyway, so, yeah, that's a bummer, man. It's a total bummer. And if a guy says, well, look, my life sucks so bad, I want to take my own life, I think I'm going to do that. But I don't want to do it in such a way that it's going to traumatize my family or it's going to be painful. You know, it's some kind of weird way. I'm scared. You know, I'd like to do it a way that's going to be cool, you know. And so along comes Dr. Kevorkian, man. What are you guys laughing at, man? All hour long, you're looking at him, he's looking at you. What are you guys doing?
Nothing. I swear to God, nothing.
All right, we'll tell you.
What?
Look down.
My fly's open.
Oh, God, man, you didn't even see that.
All right.
It's hanging right out.
Big deal, man. This is radio, so they can't see it.
I know. Still funny as hell.
Man, it's wide open, isn't it?
I thought your pants are going to come down, man.
Let me do it back up.
No, no.
Oh, well, okay, bud. Getting a thrill?
Yeah, right.
That about feel like, what is that, a cocktail, Frank?
Get out of here. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up next, a gay softball league penalizes a team full of bisexuals suspected to be heterosexuals. How dare they? Also, check us out on the web at philhendryshow.com for our merchandise, archives, HD TV, and our podcast, philhendryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Put that thing in your mouth.
All right. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We've been talking about death. We've been talking about sex. We've been talking about Anthony Weiner.
She's going to hell, this bitch.
And we're going to talk about a few more things here, man. I don't want any bummers leading into the summer. Leading into this week. I don't want any bummers leading into the summer. We've got a chance here, man, to have a great summer, and that's the way it's going to be. And I don't want anybody bumming. I don't care what's going on in the world.
Aren't you serious about the future of this country?
Of course I'm serious about the future of this country. I've been serious about the future of this country since the day I got spit out of me dear mom. But I've decided that this is going to be a summer, and next summer will be a very special summer, because these are the two last summers I got left, man, before I turn 6-0, if you're ready for that. And I never thought it was possible that Phil Hendry would ever be 60. So I don't care what's going on in the world, and if that makes me a selfish bastard, just consider the following. I never stole a freight train, in the words of the great Neil Rogers. You know, I've never cheated on my taxes, much. I've never been in jail for anything all that serious. I've never cheated on anybody that was, worth it. I'm kidding. I've never cheated on anybody. So, you know, that's the summer. And what I'm doing right now is buying time for this stupid, asinine softball story that I don't have. Here we go. This is a story having to do with a gay softball league, I guess. A trio of sexual switch hitters can proceed with a lawsuit filed after the team was stripped of a second-place finish in the Gay Softball World Series. U.S. District Judge John something or other.
What's his name, anyway?
I don't know. Coffinure, cough here, turn your head and cough. What is that name? Coffinure cleared the way for an August 1st trial in a suit brought by the three bisexual ballplayers against the North American Gay Amateur Athletic Alliance, NAGA, N-A-G-A-A-A.
Well, you're not supposed to go NAGA.
Well, I felt like going NAGA.
That's what it is, N-A-G-A-A-A, NAGA, yeah, NAGA, yeah.
No, man, it's N-A-G-A-A-A.
All right, the N-A-G-triple-A.
Yeah.
Plaintiff's allegations about the defendant's treatment of bisexuality remains a central importance to this case. The Seattle judge ruled defendant could still be liable for its actions. The alliance disqualified the San Francisco-based team, D2, I guess that's the name of the team, runner-up in the 2008 competition, after other teams at the tournament raised questions about the player's sexuality. D2 was suspected of filling its lineup with heterosexual ringers for years before the 2008 disqualification. Under the National Alliance of, the NAGAAA.
Nagay.
Nagay.
What is that, Chinese?
No, it's not Chinese.
It sounds Chinese.
Why would you think it's Chinese? It's NAGAA. It stands for the North American Gay Amateur Athletic Alliance.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, players Stephen Alpato, Lauren Charles, and John Russ claim their team was penalized because they were deemed not gay enough. What do you think of that?
I thought we were.
Anyway, members of the Floaters, I don't know. But anyway, this will go to trial, and that's where that's at. And
put that thing in your mouth.
We'll be right back after about a 24-hour to 48-hour period. Well, actually, we'll be right back on Monday night. And don't forget, tonight, it's the KFI show right here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Until then, head on over to the website, philhendryshow.com, and check out all of the marvelous stuff that we have there for you. Until tonight, this is Phil Hendry for Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard saying...
She's going to hell, this bitch.
All right. Sorry.